Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Crime and Conflict by Martha Carr and Michael Anderle, narrated by Ashley Bryce. Chapter 1.
Here we are, then.
The Volkswagen Golf crunched to a stop in the gravel parking lot. Halsey Ambrosius took in the wide two-story building that looked like it had seen better days, including those when the roof had truly been thatched instead of built up, painted and covered in a light dusting of straw to make it look that way. With a curiously reluctant smile, she turned toward the tall, dark-haired, bright-eyed young man sitting in the driver's seat and raised her eyebrows. "You drove all the way out to pick me up from the airport just to take me here?" Seamus Havilon chuckled as he shifted into park and turned off the engine, his blue eyes sparkling in the afternoon sunlight.
"Well, I did think it would have been a tad forward of me to bring you straight home after a flight like yours."
Despite the pressure slowly boiling beneath the surface of Halsey's relatively calm exterior since meeting Seamus at the Dublin airport, she laughed wryly. "You pretty much brought me straight home the last time I was here."
"Aye, but that's a bit of a longer drive than this."
The young elemental from Ireland's Havilon clan studied her face as he unbuckled his seatbelt, and the mischievous playfulness she'd seen on him more than any other expression faded into a concerned frown.
"Besides, you made it perfectly clear how badly you need that pint. Who am I to tell a lass she has to wait?"
Fair enough. After unbuckling her seatbelt, Halsey popped the passenger side door of Seamus's car and looked through the windshield at the front of the pub outside the busiest metropolitan area of downtown Dublin. "And I honestly don't know how much longer I can wait." She didn't miss the flicker of confusion passing across his brow before she pushed the car door fully open and stepped onto the gravel. He didn't question her further, though. Not right now. And not until they'd had the aforementioned pints. Halsey was grateful for that because she wasn't sure exactly how she might have answered any of his questions before she'd had a chance to sit down, gather her thoughts, and unwind with a good beer and a trusted friend. Maybe more than a friend. If this was literally any other point in elemental history, maybe Seamus and I would already be something more. Damn it. If this were any other point in history, everything would be different. The parking lot was decently full for early afternoon on a weekday, though Irish pubs and their patrons tended not to care too much about the time of day or the day of the week. Most of them didn't even care about the number of customers, sales, profits, or much else beyond maintaining the stability of a physical roof and an effective supply of booze. Through all of her trips to Ireland, both before and after she and her cousin Brigham had discovered that damn silver coffin on the beaches of Moher, Halsey had learned what an Irish pub was. It was community, privacy, safety. Over the last few months, especially the last 24 hours, it seemed those three things had been vastly lacking in Halsey's life. "And here I am without Brigham, again, about to spill my guts to a completely different elemental because I can't handle what's happening to me and can't face the look in my best friend's eyes when he finds out I've been carrying on one seriously messed up Ambrosius family legacy. Secrets and lies. So let's walk into this pub, get everything off my chest with Seamus, then figure out a way to talk to Brigham about it all and actually do it this time, Hal. This has to stop." As she crossed the parking lot towards the pub's front door, Halsey was so intent on berating herself into an open-hearted conversation with the gorgeous young Havilon elemental she'd only met a few months ago that she wasn't paying attention to much of anything else. The pub door stood in front of her. Seamus was somewhere behind her, his sneakers crunching across the gravel like her own. It was all that mattered. Then something tingled across the back of her neck, making the hair there stand on end beneath her ponytail of thick, wavy dark hair she'd inherited from both her parents. It took her a moment to fully become aware of the sensation, which she probably wouldn't have paid any attention to if it had only lasted a few seconds before disappearing. Yet the tingling sensation persisted long enough to drag Halsey from the depths of her internal monologue. That was all she needed to recognize it for what it was. She'd felt it before, no less than 8 hours ago. The feeling of being watched. It wasn't only the general sense of foreboding and instinctual hyper-awareness she'd learned to hone through years of training and the last 5 years of hunting monsters. That was a feeling she'd quickly grown used to out of necessity. Recognizing when a monster may have caught her scent on the wind or noticed her presence before she and Brigham sprang into action to drive it back. Sometimes the monsters did see her before she saw them, but only by a few seconds, and only through the eyes of dumb, supernatural, instinct-driven beasts. Beasts the Ambrosius clan had been fighting since 953 AD, when Cedric Ambrosius and his other elemental buddies discovered the wrecked Viking ship that had delivered the Blood Matriarch's newest wave of monstrosities to the shores of her enemy's home. Halsey knew that feeling well. There were no beasts like that here today. No. What she felt was the intense, intelligent, sentient stare of not only one or two pairs of disembodied eyes catching a curious glimpse of her from between the trees, but of an entire consciousness. She hadn't been able to pinpoint that feeling earlier this morning. Identifying the different sensations of being watched and cataloging each of their meanings hadn't been on the top of her to-do list in the middle of being ambushed, alone, without her partner, with no idea what she'd been up against. That feeling was perfectly clear to her now, as she crossed the relatively short distance between Seamus's car and the pub's old, warped, slightly crooked front door. That consciousness was watching her, studying her, waiting for her to notice it and react in some way. The same way the consciousness of the entire Grindylow swarm had watched her this morning before rushing her in what had felt like a planned attack. One she barely managed to escape through the most unusual means of survival so far, even for Halsey Ambrosius. And that was saying a lot. The second she recognized that feeling, her body responded on its own, without any cognizant command from her brain. She didn't notice herself slowing her purposeful march toward the pub, because the only thing she could focus on now was the feeling of that collective intelligence burning into her and forcing her to pay attention. That's impossible. I don't care what those Grindylows thought of me this morning. There's no way they could have made it out here as fast as I did, even if the whole swarm zipped across the ocean from London to meet me here. They wouldn't be here now. They can't be. Trying to rationalize it all didn't change the feeling of an intelligent gaze lingering on her skin, boring into her mind, tickling along the top of her neck and the back of her head. And down every extremity. It didn't change her suspicions about the source of the feeling either. The Grindylows were here. Not just any Grindylows, but the ones that had almost torn her to shreds this morning before she used her copper orb for yet another last-ditch attempt to save her own skin. It was impossible. Yet a better, more reasonable, more logical explanation wouldn't reveal itself. She vigilantly scanned the front of the pub, the thin line of trees stretching behind the building and farther northwest into a thicker forest, and the relatively neatly pruned hedges and flower beds lining the crooked walkway in front. No ponds, no creeks, no water features, no Grindylows. Still, the feeling of being intently watched wouldn't let up. There's no way, unless somebody bought the whole swarm a bunch of airline tickets and shipped them out on express delivery. Under different circumstances, the thought would have made her laugh. After her long-awaited meeting with Halael Adam this morning, however, not to mention the last-minute fight of her life that had ended in a Grindylow swarm hastily obeying her every command, she wouldn't have found humor in anything right now, even if she'd had Brigham and his wry wit at her side. A light breeze rolling across the beginning of the opening Irish countryside punctured the stillness. The trees behind the pub rustled with fluttering leaves. The hedges and flowers bent beneath the wave of cool, late summer air. A flicker of bright, shimmering green blinked at her from behind the farthest pruned bush on the left. Halsey froze, waiting for the shimmer to return, to move, and reveal itself for what she already knew it was but couldn't admit to herself. An eye. One wide, overly large eye glinted at her as it caught the sunlight. Then two, enormous and buggy in a squat, squashed face covered with knobby, dark green flesh like a horny toad. Three long fingers emerged from behind the same shrug, below those buggy eyes, to curl slowly around one of the lower hanging branches, beseeching her, taunting her, confirming the impossible once again. Shit, they're actually here. Either that or every Grindylow on the planet shares the same mind. Both options are completely fucking insane. Hal? A warm hand settled gently on her shoulder, both startling her from her intense staring and reassuring her that she wasn't alone this time. Not like she'd been this morning under a literal Grindylow ambush. After sucking in a sharp breath, Halsey jerked her head toward Seamus and shot him a fleeting glance. Yeah, I'm good.
I? The broad-shouldered young man who'd taken a liking to the Ambrosius clan's best monster hunter from their first meeting towered over her by almost 2 feet. He had to dip his head to study her face.
Says quite a different thing when you answer a question that hasn't even been asked yet.
Sorry. Halsey couldn't help but return her attention to the far left hedge, where that grotesque little Grindylow face had been staring back at her. But all signs of the creature were gone. Still, she had a hard time turning toward Seamus, because that would mean turning her back on what was in front of her, hiding and waiting. For what? To attack her again? Or to swear some kind of impish fealty the way the others had this morning? Finally, she managed to set all that aside to pretend she'd recovered. Right now, pretending was all she had left. What were you going to ask?
Well, I aimed to ask if you were all right.
Seamus dipped his head again to catch her attention, and this time it worked.
Now I'm thinking that pint's more sorely needed than I thought.
You have no idea. The words tumbled from her mouth as she gazed into Seamus's bright blue eyes. So how about you float me the first round and I'll tell you all about it?
Took the words right out of my mouth.
The brilliant flash of Seamus's perfectly straight, startlingly white teeth when he grinned took her back to the day they'd met inside Fialon's Inn. Halsey had thought he was a member of the Havlon clan council at first. His size, his face hidden by a baseball cap, and his deep, booming voice could have belonged to anyone. That grin of his had convinced her she'd been wrong. Seamus Havilon might have been the son of his elemental clan's council head, but he was unlike anyone Halsey had ever met. She only hoped he could handle everything she was about to tell him, over however many pints it took. Chapter 2. The pub's main front room wasn't particularly crowded, but Seamus still asked if any of their private side rooms were open when he ordered their first round. The bearded bartender in a collared shirt with tattoos covering both forearms nodded before pouring two large, cold, frothing pints of lager into frosted glasses.
Over in the back, right afore the jacks.
Halsey was worried she'd started drooling on herself when she picked up her glass, trying not to spill the thick head of foam over the sides. She fixed that problem by knocking down a good third of her first pint right there at the bar. It helped settle her nerves and made the men share an amused and impressed look.
Leave us a tab open, eh?
Seamus lit a credit card across the bar as Halsey turned toward the private room the bartender had indicated. Then he leaned toward the other man and lowered his voice.
Any possibility of bringing us another in about 30 minutes?
The bartender's mustache twitched over the tiniest smile as he raised an eyebrow.
Long as the place doesn't fill up faster than she can knock 'em back.
Much appreciated. With beer in hand, Seamus wasn't smiling as he turned away from the bar and headed toward the private room in the back, closest to the pub's restrooms. He put one on for Halsey as he walked through the frosted glass door, though she wouldn't have noticed a difference anyway. She was already seated at one of the two wobbly square tables, slumped back against the chair with one hand around her sweating pint glass on the table and her eyes closed.
Now I know you're not falling asleep on me.
He laughed before the door swung shut behind him with a gentle click. Halsey's eyes flew open, and she released a long sigh before offering him a small, tired smile. Lager is not the same in the States as it is here. I've missed it.
I hope a good pint isn't the only thing you missed.
His grin flashed again as he headed toward the open seat across the table from her. Her only response was another wry chuckle and one more long, smooth drink. Seamus set down his mug, effortlessly pulled out his chair to sit, and watched her with wide eyes until she was finished.
Maybe we should have started with two at the bar.
That's just asking for trouble. She quickly wiped beer foam off her upper lip and onto her jeans under the table before shaking her head. Honestly, knowing there's more where this came from is enough to keep me going. For now.
Aye.
Seamus lifted his glass toward her for a silent toast, which he quickly joined with her now half-empty pint. After he'd given himself a moment to appreciate the first sip of an iced-cold lager, he fixed his attention on the dark-haired, hazel-eyed young elemental across from him. His smile faded once more. This time he looked like he was sitting down with a business partner or a fellow hunter, rather than the cute girl he hadn't known long but had picked up at the airport for the chance to spend time with her. Halsey supposed she was all three to him. Hopefully that wouldn't change after they had what was sure to be one of the strangest conversations of both their lives.
You may not have had your fill of drink yet, Hal, but it's plain as day you've run into more than enough trouble.
She forced herself to meet his gaze. It's that obvious, huh?
Not that I'm a particular expert in all things Halsey Ambrosius.
Seamus shrugged playfully and sat back in his chair.
Or not yet, anyhow.
Cute. Another self-satisfied smile flickered across his lips before he got back down to serious business.
I do know the look of a person who's been skipping round the edge of losing their mind. Gotta say, when I saw you walking through the airport, I expected you to already be blathered right off the plane.
Blathered? Seamus lifted his pint glass to demonstrate, emphasizing his point with a silent nod. Halsey couldn't help a small laugh at the unexpected words, still lost in translation between them, despite the fact they were generally speaking the same language. I don't drink on planes.
Ah, the altitude, is it?
More like a safety precaution. She wrinkled her nose and took another quick drink. Even that simple explanation, while true, sounded thin and completely without substance, given her current situation.
Ah, sure. Seamus nodded sagely. You're dangerous enough, tis, without the drink. Stands to reason you'd already know what the world's fixin' to face when you're a few pints in. I sure do.
Is he talking about the grand old time we had together at his family estate? Or the epic werewolf hunt afterward that ended with my axe in the silverback alpha's chest and one of his claws in my leg? Either way, Seamus's insinuation didn't exactly have the intended effect. He was trying to lighten the mood by flirting and reminding her of the last time they'd seen each other face to face. That had been months ago, before Halsey had pieced together the mystery of her clan library's missing record, and proof of the Mother of Monsters' release once before in the last 1,000 years. before she'd unlocked so many more of the copper orb's abilities and discovered a few surprising new details about her own magic. Before, she and Brigham had almost died multiple times and were forced to accept that the copper orb, Halsey's abilities, and all the changes to magic and monsters could no longer be ignored. Focus, Hal. He's trying to break the ice. The least you could do is try not to be a complete bummer. She decided to smile, while she thought of an appropriate response, but it felt forced. Well, what kind of message would it send if I walked right off the plane to meet you, reeking of booze? Seamus snorted. Same message you're sending now? Only I would have known you taken a bit of time to unwind from whatever's gotten you so wound up to begin with. He raised his glass again and slowly lifted it to his lips. The fact you haven't yet sends a whole different message in and of itself. That made Halsey pause, despite the tension still thrumming through her after one hell of a weird and concerning morning. Her curiosity got the better of her. What message is that? After his next sip of lager, Seamus looked on the verge of grimacing, though it had nothing to do with his drink. She knew it was serious when he held her gaze again and took a moment to judge his words before sharing them. The kind of message that says you haven't yet worked out how you feel about whatever it is. I like to think I know you well enough to guess if you haven't worked that out yet, it's bad enough and recent enough to tear you up like it is. Of course, I could be wrong.
You're not, Halsey blurted. It came out much more desperate than she'd intended, but almost everything about her current situation felt desperate. Now that she'd confirmed what he'd already guessed so easily, there was no point dancing around it any longer. As recent as this morning, and as bad as, well, I haven't been able to wrap my mind around it. If it's good, if it's bad, if it's totally insane and there's something really wrong with me, nah, don't start with that. Seamus shook his head, holding her gaze intently with another tiny, reassuring smile flickering across his full lips. You aren't the kind of lass to question what it is she's doing or thinking. Not the Halsey I know. She scoffed and grabbed her drink. No offense, Seamus, but I wouldn't say you and I know each other that well. Don't we? The look he gave her over his raised beer made her gut sink into a warm flutter of nervous excitement. Yet the intensity of everything else she'd been feeling for the last 9 hours instantly gobbled up that sensation. Before heading out to finally meet Adam, Halsey had been so sure she was doing the right thing. She would get the last crucial answer she'd been seeking about her magic and the golden orb, and she would go right home afterward and share it all with Brigham and their grandmother. Of course, she also would have to explain to her cousin that Adam had contacted her right after they'd wrapped up their last mission in Coningsby, England. Most likely, he'd be furious with her for not telling him about it. Instead, she'd made a solo pit stop to meet the Order of Skarrar member before she raced off to see Seamus Havilon. Brigham would have gotten over it. They would have made amends and used the knowledge she'd gained to help the Ambrosius clan and the other elemental families prepare for the final battle few of them wanted to believe was coming. Instead, she'd received only cryptic answers from the man calling himself a purveyor of knowledge and claiming to know more about who Halsey was and what she could do than anyone else in her life, including herself. She couldn't easily accept that, and she certainly couldn't take it back to Brigham without getting someone else's opinion on the whole affair. Adam might have specifically staged the Grendilo ambush, if someone from the Order of Skarrar could even do such a thing. Or the whole might be one enormous and maddening coincidence. Either way, Halsey only knew one thing for certain. An elemental monster hunter shouldn't be able to command an entire swarm of Grendilos, or any other type of monster, with their own natural magic. Yet that was exactly what she'd done. Halsey hadn't even noticed the silent, expectant pause in their conversation until Seamus chuckled wryly before clearing his throat.
Don't get me wrong, Hal. There's always more we might know about each other in the future. So long as I don't screw the whole thing up by making ridiculous assumptions over our first pint.
Not ridiculous. She flicked her gaze to meet his and managed a smile. Seamus Havilon had given her exactly what she needed right now, and she could have laughed at herself for taking this long to see it. They were friends. There was obvious chemistry between them and had been since they'd met, despite the fact she'd started out not wanting to take it any further than two young, slightly rebellious elementals helping each other and their prospective clans as much as possible. They'd defended his home and his family together from the werewolves wreaking more havoc than they should have across the Irish countryside. It apparently didn't matter that Halsey and Brigham had unknowingly made the Havilon's werewolf problem worse when their mission last June had taken them to the Cliffs of Moher and that damned silver coffin. Especially when the Havilons had lauded Halsey for single-handedly taking down the Silverback Alpha and living to talk about it. Of course, Seamus didn't know her like Brigham knew her. Nobody did. However, he knew her well enough to take her seriously. He liked her enough to genuinely want to help, and he was far enough removed from the Ambrosius clan's secrets, lies, and family drama to make his opinion and any offered advice invaluable. This little visit was exactly what she needed. She had to stop second-guessing herself long enough to accept whatever help, suggestions, support, and even a small amount of relief Seamus could offer. So she did. "Not that I'm an expert on Seamus Havilon," she started, playfully mirroring his words. "But for as long as we have known each other, none of your assumptions have been ridiculous. Or far from the truth, honestly." He raised one dark eyebrow and leaned slightly forward, not quite daring to grin at the insinuation.
"Not even one?"
Halsey couldn't help but laugh, and decided it was best to hit the nail on the head so they could get past what was obviously taking up most of his attention right now. "If you're referring to how hard and fast you came on to me out of the gate the day we met, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I didn't like it." Seamus blinked in surprise, his head slightly jerking away from her like he couldn't believe she would actually say that out loud and to his face. Then he finally let one of those perfect, brilliant grins through the mask of his initial shock and laughed.
"You really know how to keep a lad on his toes."
"Well, when it's the only way to keep up with me, I kind of have to." His booming laughter echoed around the small private room. Hopefully they wouldn't have any dire interruptions like the last time she was in Ireland. At the same second, the frosted glass door swung open. The bearded bartender strode in with a tray of not two, but four fresh, ice-cold, frothing lagers balanced in one hand.
"Well, shite, boyo."
Seamus leaned back in his chair and failed at fixing the bartender with a confused frown. The fact that he was still laughing didn't help.
"I did say every turty, didn't I?" "Aye."
The bartender nodded gruffly and set the beers down on the table, one by one.
"Figured that was a loose timeline, but one of these rounds is straight for me and McCraw. Saw the two of you walking in and wanted to pass on a message. For the lad, good work. And for the lass."
The man set the last glass in front of Halsey and shot her a playful, unsmiling wink.
"Good luck."
The friendly message from a stranger to her made her laugh. Seamus clicked his tongue in mock irritation.
"McCraw always does know how to make the damnedest impression. Tell him he can keep his nose out of the whole thing." "I'm a barkeep, not a postman,"
the man interrupted, his face expressionless despite the humorous tone.
"Go tell him yourself."
He immediately took his leave after that, tucking the empty tray under one arm and walking briskly from the room. Halsey and Seamus were alone, both of them lost for words after such an odd message sent with a round of drinks from someone in the pub's common room.
"Well,"
laughing, Seamus ran a hand through his hair, then stuck a thumb over his shoulder. I can assure you 'twas an unexpected...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?